Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you will enjoy listening.
The first thing Buddha said, right? Buddha's first noble truth. First thing he said, he taught four things, the four noble truths, right? And the first one was the truth of suffering. That's the first thing he said. Basically, he said our present way of living, what we call within the trade contaminated life, is in the nature of suffering. And personally, it's one of the things that I find so, inspiring and encouraging, really, about Buddha's teachings is he just tells it like it is. Let's start there. Wherever we look in our world, we see suffering. We don't sometimes want to look at it that way. But the truth of the matter is, every organization, every country, every system, and every person that you see is actually suffering. Is that true? I mean, some people obviously may be suffering less, relatively happy, relatively okay, doing pretty well, but they're still struggling. It's still a conflict. It's still a battle every day to find your way into that peaceful mind or positive mind or good-hearted mind. They're still dealing with attachment and anger and anxiety and depression. So why am I saying this? Well, because that's where we need to start. We need to recognize what? We need to recognize, and again, this is something Buddha pointed out, that all of us, without exception, share the same wish. What is that wish? The wish is to be happy. Every single living being, according to Buddha, has this primary wish, the wish to be happy. Simultaneous with it is the wish to be free from suffering. Nobody wants to suffer, and everybody wants to be happy. That's the movement going on within us. I was just thinking about this, because, you know, this talk about artificial intelligence, and, you know, is our computers going to become conscious? Well, artificially. But there's never going to be a happy computer. It's going to be a well-functioning computer, but there's never going to be a happy computer. They're never going to become conscious. They're never going to become a living being. That's unique to us, to living beings, including animals, you know, not just humans, living beings. We have the wish to be happy and the wish to be free from suffering because we experience happiness and we experience suffering. Now, some people think, well, it's just human. You got a bit of both. And, you know, sometimes things work out and sometimes they don't. But from Buddha's perspective, he's saying, right now, our life is actually pervaded by suffering. You get to the crossroads and you think it really matters whether I go left or right. Yeah, of course, in the short term it will. But in the long term, no, you're going to suffer either way. Because we're trapped. I mean, we're sitting in a body that is falling to pieces. You know, some of you have been coming for a while, so you've been watching me fall to pieces over the years, you know? Hey, don't feel proud about it. I've been watching you. You know, Buddha said at the moment, our life is in the nature of aging, sickness, and death. You know, it's just, that's what's happening. And then rebirth, by the way, because consciousness is the basis of reality. Consciousness is the basis of the universe. It seems like scientists are more and more beginning to understand that themselves. There is no universe without a consciousness that's perceiving it. I mean, what would we be talking about? Consciousness is the basis of reality. Your mind right now is actually creating your reality. Is that true? Like right now you're having an experience of me. You actually think you're looking at me. A me that is existing independently of your mind. Because that's how I'm appearing to you. But the truth of the matter is you're looking at your version of me. Is that true? You've all got your own version of me. You can keep it to yourselves, by the way. You've all got your own version of me, your own perception of me, and really that what follows is your own projection of me. You're projecting me, and I'm projecting you. I think you look lovely. You're projecting this room because you're in your mind's version of this room. You're projecting New York City. You're in your mind's version of New York City. But unfortunately, to us, because of what Buddha called the delusions, these deep-seated mental habits that are distorting our perception, anger, jealousy, greed, attachment, and then the underlying root delusion, ignorance, because of these underlying distortions, we literally misapprehend reality. The world appears to us as if it's out there, separate from us, independent of our mind, an objectively existing world. Very easy to disprove it, and we have meditations where we actively disprove it and enter into a relationship that is correct, understanding that things are not existing independently of the mind, but only independence upon the mind, in relationship to the mind. All of the unhappiness we have in the world is actually arising from that misapprehension. It's on the basis of that misapprehension that we develop anger, because we think there's an awful thing that's causing me suffering independently of my mind out there. And it's imposing itself upon me. And so I need to get rid of it. I hate it. Go away. I reject it. We don't understand. No, it's your mind's perception of that thing that is the problem. And rather than rejecting the thing, change your mind. And of course, we have attachment. All sorts of things in our world that we perceive as being inherently attractive. They appear as attractive. In other words, they appear as something that if I have it, will make me happy, and therefore I want it. You know that feeling? Craving. Desire. Oh, so exciting. Desire. Because we're desiring it because we think it's going to make me happy. It's appearing that as a source of happiness from its own side. Of course, I want it. But how many times have you gotten what you desire? Of course, often we don't get what we desire, and that makes us unhappy. And then sometimes we do get what we desire. And it still makes us unhappy. Maybe not immediately, but after a while. Because it's not an inherent source of happiness. Happiness doesn't come from external things. Happiness comes from your relationship to these things. Happiness comes from your mind. Amazing. And so for as long as we misapprehend how things exist and relate to the world in a way in which they don't exist, that's contaminated life. That's what Buddha calls samsara. And that's the way of existing that is in the nature of suffering. The suffering isn't coming from the world. The suffering is coming from our misapprehension of the world. And we live in that misapprehension. We abide in that misapprehension. So that's the truth of suffering. And then the second noble truth was just saying, yeah, that's where your suffering comes from. The origin of that suffering are the delusions, the distorted, unpeaceful states of mind that produce suffering. Because there is a cause of the suffering, if you get rid of the cause, you're going to get rid of the suffering. So that's the third noble truth. There is a cessation of suffering possible. Because if you get rid of the cause, you get rid of the suffering. And then there's a path to accomplish that, which is the fourth noble truth. Amazing. There's a problem, but there's a cause to that problem. Get rid of the cause, there's a solution. And here's the method. What is the method? It turns out the method is not shout at your neighbors. The method is not try to manipulate your partner into becoming the person that you want them to be. It turns out that that's not the method. It turns out it's not. I mean, we're not saying don't climb the career ladder. Of course, you can do whatever you want. But the happiness is never going to come from a change of position or a change of situation. It's going to come from a change of mind. Which brings us back to that question. Do you believe that you can really change your mind? So for me, the question which I would like you to contemplate when we get there, if you wish, you know, it's your contemplation. Do with it as you will. But it's not so much what do I want to resolve for 2024, but who do I wish to be? Who do I wish to be in 2024 and onwards? I was saying this to somebody the other day that I thought this would be a good thing to think about, and they said, well, what do you mean? I just am who I am. Because that's how we tend to think. I am who I am. Is that Popeye who said that? I can't remember. And Buddha famously said, you are not who you think you are. You are not who you think you are. Whoever you think you are actually not. This goes deep, by the way. I'm throwing deep Dharma at you fast and quick. So if you're new and you're thinking, whoa, I just came here to have a stress-free evening and you're freaking me out. But because just as you're projecting me and I'm projecting you, you're also projecting you. And I'm projecting me. Does that make sense? This is all quite, this is a deep topic for meditation. We call it the meditation on emptiness. When you really examine the nature of, well, reality, but in particular your reality, because that's what lies at the very heart of our suffering. Each one of us has a version of ourself appearing to our mind all the time. Would you agree with that? Like you have it right now. You're aware of yourself, aren't you? You have self-awareness. You're aware of yourself. Like you don't suddenly turn to the person and go, wait, am I you? You're always aware of, no, I'm me and you're you. So there's a sense of self, isn't there? And it's in here. Somehow inside the body. Sometimes it's associated with the body. Sometimes it's associated with mental feelings and so forth. But it's definitely here. It's not like, ooh, there's myself. No, you know, it's like it's inside, isn't it? Inside where? What is your self? Because we never ask that. We just walk around going, I think this and I think that. I like this and I don't like that. I want this and I don't want that. I, all day long, dreaming all night long. I. Then you wake up, I, carrying I. It's one of Geshe Kelsang's phrases, always thinking, I. What are you talking about? We never ask that question. We just assume that the perception of self is based on something that surely must be valid because we're all doing it. But what is it? Like, if we cut open the body, is there like a specific physical organ that is like, I've got it, here's the self. Like alien, you know, or like a mini-me, you know, in there. Clearly not. There's nothing physical that is you. So if it's not physical, well, then it must be mental? Meaning of the mind? Meaning, so what else is of the mind? What else does your mind get up to? It thinks, doesn't it? Well, I'm afraid that's what you are. A thought. You're an image. You're an image. Who created that image? Who created the you that you believe you are? It's actually got a pretty simple answer. I know this is kind of like a cosmic question, but it's got a pretty simple answer. You created you. You're creating you all the time. Some happy feelings arise. You go ahead and identify with those happy feelings, and I'm happy. And then in the next moment, the person who was making you happy says something different. Unhappy feelings are now arising, and you go ahead and put your name tag on that one. And now I am unhappy. Did you have to put your name on the unhappy feelings? Were you forced to? Somebody holding a gun to your head saying you must identify with these unhappy feelings? No, we just go ahead and do it. Because we don't even know that we're doing it. We just think, oh look, there's an unhappy me. I must be unhappy. And we call it grasping, ego grasping. Grasping at the self you normally see, believing that's who you really are. Ooh, what a tangled web we weave. Because that self appears with faults, doesn't it? And limitations. I am an anxious person. I am a depressed person. Maybe not always depressed or always anxious, but anxious in certain situations, depressed in certain situations, overwhelmed in certain situations. I'm a person with a very difficult history, which I'd like to tell you about again and again. I'm a person with lots of painful projections of the future that overwhelm me. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's the universe, actually, that's our universe, isn't it? That we live in. Like we'll say, look out at the universe, but really you're looking out at your universe all the time. Insofar as you're constantly identifying with a very small thought you, a mini you. It's a mini you insofar, I mean, you don't recognize, we don't, generally speaking, recognize it as a mini self. Geshe Kelsang calls it the self that we normally perceive. The self that we normally perceive. Self that we normally perceive, he also then proceeds to say, doesn't exist. Because we're perceiving it as something that's really out there. And he's saying, no, that's just, it's just an idea. If you understand, it does exist as an idea, but we're perceiving it as something more than that. So that's the thing that doesn't exist. If you understood it was an idea, if we understood it was just an idea, we would feel so liberated.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.